You're listening to Vatican Radio. Pope Francis's attitude of hospitality and humility towards Oriental Orthodox leaders has had a very positive impact on the theological dialogue between the Catholics and these Eastern Orthodox churches. That's according to Father Gabriel Quique, who's in charge of relations with the Oriental Orthodox churches at the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. He came back this week from Kerala in India, where he took part in the 11th meeting of the International Joint Commission for Theological Dialogue between Catholics and the Oriental Orthodox churches. The two delegations at the meeting continued their ongoing discussions on the ways in which full communion was expressed in the first five centuries before the divisions between the different churches. Since the 5th century, these ancient communities of Christians have not been in communion with either the Roman Catholic Church or the Eastern Orthodox world, with the result that very little is known about their rich heritage and traditions outside the countries where they are based: Egypt, Armenia, Syria, India and Ethiopia. I spoke with Father Gabriel to find out more about the five-day meeting in Kerala and about his hopes for rapprochement with these Oriental Orthodox communities.
We were continuing our theme on communion communication in the first five centuries, but now with a special emphasis on the development of the various Eucharistic prayers. We call this anaphoras in the early church and the significance of pilgrimages. So the papers were presented. And finally, the last sessions, we could read together the draft documents entitled The Exercise of Communion in the Life of the Early Church and Its Implications for Our Search for Communion Today.
When is this document likely to be ready? You've been working on it for some years now, haven't you?
Yeah, already 3 years we are working at that new document, and we hope to finalize it next year when we will have the meeting in Rome. We only have to make a draft on the conclusion, but the conclusion is not a detail, because the conclusion opens also a view on practical life, how that document can be put into practice in daily life. And we hope to submit the document to the heads of the churches next year, in order that it can have concrete consequence for practical life.
This commission has been meeting for over a decade now, and as you say, you're looking particularly back to the first five centuries before the divisions to try and rediscover the shared roots of faith. What would you say have been the most important areas of progress over this time?
Yes, the dialogue started in 2003. There was an initial program, and we started speaking about ecclesiology, nature, mission and constitution of the church. We could produce a document in 2009. And we were happily surprised to see, to realize that we have so many things in common: faith, structure of the church, sacraments. Now we are finalizing the second document on communion communication in the church, so we could move forwards, realizing that there are so many elements in common. We hope that with the third phase that we will start on the general theme, historical development and theology of the sacraments, that we can move on these concrete issues such as the sacraments of initiation, because we know that in some particular areas the question of rebaptism is a difficult issue.
Can you explain this a little bit to us? Why is it such an obstacle?
It has to deal with recognition of baptism. For example, in the case of mixed marriages, when one church is asking for rebaptizing the Catholic party, there we have a problem. And we hope, when we are studying more objectively the historical development of the sacraments, the theology of the sacraments of initiation, that we can touch in fraternal way that issue, hoping that we can overcome that obstacle.
Several of these churches have had new leaders elected, appointed over the past couple of years. Is it fair, or is it possible to say that this may bring a new sense of vigour, of openness to the dialogue with the Catholic Church?
Indeed, that is what we hope and pray for. We can refer to the visits of two patriarchs. Pope Tavados came to Rome to meet the Holy Father, Pope Francis. And this was an amazing experience. For example, when we arrived from the airport at Domus Sancti Marti, who was waiting at the entrance of Domus Sancti Marti, it was Pope Francis. And such a humble sign of hospitality means much more than 10 years of ecumenical dialogue. I refer to the second visit of the Catholicos, His Holiness Paolo Sedui. It was the Catholicos who was hosting the commission in India. He referred so many times to the very deep experience of the meeting with Pope Francis. He was really touched by his humility. And he expressed his closeness to the Holy Father, saying that his humility is an example for them all.
So this gave a significant input to your talks this year.
Indeed, we hope that these visits can build bridges between the Catholic Church and these Oriental Orthodox churches. But we hope that that positive experience can also build bridges among them, because sometimes there are also some tensions among them. And humility can move forwards towards peace and harmony.
Many of these churches are also suffering greatly. We think of the Syrian Orthodox Church, for example, in a particular way, caught up in the conflict. How much does discussion of the suffering of all the churches in these regions feature in the talks?
Indeed, we referred explicitly to what's happening in the Middle East. There are so many challenges, but one of the big challenges is the minority position of Christians in the Middle East. And we were praying for all those who are persecuted, the refugees in Lebanon, in Iraq, in Jordan. We were praying for the two bishops who are kidnapped, and priests, Christians, faithful, and also the sisters of Ma'alula, that ancient Christian village, who have been moved away.
Did you have any further information, any signs of hope that the bishops, the sisters may be released?
No, we are waiting for news, but there is hope.
The next meeting then you'll hold in Rome again, won't you, at the beginning of 2015. What are your hopes, perhaps, looking forward to this next encounter?
Firstly, we hope that everyone will be present, because in the meeting in India that was not the case because of different reasons such as no visa or health reasons. But Rome in general has the advantage that there are no many problems to get a visa, and the journey to Rome is not so complicated. So we hope that we can be together, and we are looking forward to be present for the Vesper service and at St. Paul's Basilica, as we are also looking forward for the audience with the Holy Father, because that is the tradition. Surely we hope to move forwards on finalizing the documents on communion communication, and we hope to introduce a new theme on the sacraments of initiation.